I find that I'm fascinating.
Yesterday, I talked about a Twitter exchange between James Lindsay and Carl Benjamin, where Carl Benjamin definitively won the exchange. Today, I'm going to be talking about a Twitter exchange between Carl Benjamin and myself on the nature of protest and the French Revolution, where I think the outcome was different. But before I get into that, I should probably explain how this arrived. First of all, these things go around on Twitter sometimes where this guy said, which history opinion will get you like this? And then there's a guy saying, yes, you're all wrong. And then he's completely surrounded by people. And my tweet was this. I said, that protest is literally always a waste of time, money, effort and energy. I take this view with me to the grave, I said. And, well, obviously, you can imagine that got people talking. But why do I think this? Well, first, let's get into what is a protest. A protest typically is when you ask the government for permission to march up and down the street with a placard saying, down with all this. Damn you, government. You've done something that I disagree with. And I want a right to march up and down with a sign showing that I disagree with what you've done. This is government. This is the protest, okay? And the government says, yeah, okay. I, the government, will allow you to march up and down, marching up and down the square with a placard saying, down with all this. I, the government, bestow you with a right to protest something I have said or done. This is ridiculous. Think about what a pathetic action this is. Now, you might be thinking, well, what about all those left-wing protests that get somewhere? The trouble is with the left-wing protests is that many times they're astroturfed. Many times it is the state literally paying actors to go out and protest to argue for something they already want to do. A very good example is on the net zero thing. The government wants to do net zero stuff. It pays protesters to get out in the street and say, you're not doing it. We want net zero stuff. Remember, if you're pushing at an open door, you are not a radical. And there's a long history of this. I made an appearance with Aaron McIntyre a while back where I looked at the history of civil rights and the history of the spooks being involved in civil rights protests to basically maneuver it into a position where they were pushing at an open door, they were pushing at things that people like Lyndon B. Johnson then enacted. They wanted to do it, they needed a pretext to do it, they needed to manufacture consent to do it, so they, you know, astroturfed a few protests, made big things happen, Capitol Hill, etc. They can be pretty big, these protests, right? But they're basically, whenever you see the left out marching in unison, it's usually for something that the government has either already announced it's going to do, and therefore they're protesting, do it faster, or they're not doing it fast enough or something like that. But the point is, they're knocking at an open door. You will notice, by the way, that when the left march in cases where they're not being astroturfed, pro-Palestine marches as an example, the truncheons come out. Power doesn't want that. That gets shut down. When it was BLM back in 2020, kneeling policeman. Now it's pro-Palestine. Get the truncheons out, lads. So the left got a bit of a reality check there. That was the left not being astroturfed. That was the left not with the usual mechanisms behind them, because power was against them on that occasion. And you can always see the difference. Even during the lockdowns, we saw state did not approve of, did not like the lockdown protests, okay? But anyway, point is, protests seldom, if ever, achieve anything unless it's something that the state already wants to do by their very nature. You have to ask the state permission to protest. So then Carl Benjamin came into it and we had a whole debate about the nature of the French Revolution. I'm going to get to all of that in a second. First, though, pick up a course at the academic agency. If you're really interested in what I'm talking about here, the course for you would be Foundations of Politics, where I go through all of this stuff in even more detail, elite theory. But then there are other courses, Foundations of Economics, Foundations of, Trivium, the whole Trivium, writing, rhetoric, logic, many other great courses are available. Foundations of Shakespeare was the last one, world-class course. So take all of these. I've never had people take them and, regret buying one. So pick them up and let's get on to this whole view of mine that protest is a waste of time. So first this guy, Veracity USA, came up saying, the thing is, this is a weird opinion because rulers throughout history have always feared the raw strength and numbers of the common people. I simply said, please show evidence for this claim. Did leaders write down this fear? Did mass protests lead to kings being overthrown? And then I said the French Revolution, where the king was overthrown, was an elite armed insurrection and not a protest, by the way. The French revolutionaries did not petition the king and say, we want the right to march up and down in the square or outside the Bastille with placards saying down with all this. We would like you, the king's permission to do this. No, they didn't do that. It was an armed insurrection led by a tight-knit, organised minority. There were several organised minorities. The French Revolution was complex. There were actually several organised minorities, including a kind of rogue aristocracy who turned against the king, so aristocrats, bourgeoisie, obviously, intellectuals of various sorts, and they were all involved in a coalition to overthrow a rotten establishment. That is what happened. I've got a huge book here on the French Revolution, worth reading, by Thomas Carlyle. It's just out of shot, where he goes into a lot of these details. And Carlyle's view is that basically the French aristocracy had it coming, the French ruling class had it coming. Let's get into it now with Carl. I just have to find the specific things, because Carl said the French Revolution was not elite-led. It was a middle-class revolution which leveraged the Parisian underclass. The king and aristocracy were the elite who were targeted. It was organised, though, which I think is the actual factor you're thinking of. And I said, the claim the French Revolution was not elite-led is ridiculous, and I will not debate it. And then we got into some backs and forths. Yeah, it's probably worth mentioning here, I'm recording this a little bit later and inserting it in, is that one of the definitional issues here is over what it is, what an elite is, okay? And I think Carl was taking elite to mean whoever's in power. But actually, an elite is basically any organised minority. And we can break that down further into what is called the ruling elite, that is the people at the top of the current system, the government. The non-ruling elite, the intellectual and technical classes who are not formally in power but who serve the current system. That's your professors, your journalists, your civil servants, your bureaucrats, the non-ruling elite, okay? And no system can function without that non-ruling elite, by the way. And a lot of elite theory actually focuses on how important that strata is. It's not just the government, it's that strata too that any revolution would have to deal with. Third, there is the counter elite, that is the organized minority who seek to supplant the ruling elite. Okay, now you could have arguments about whether you, Carl, consist or are a member of a counter elite. You could debate that, maybe not. This is the technical definition of elite. I'll get back now. Let's get back to the video. I'm going to have to edit this in later. Maybe I'll put like a chop. Chop. Carl said it was a revolt to literally overthrow the highest of elites. And I said, well, let's look at the numbers. The storming of the Bastille, 1,000 men. The insurrection of the 10th of August, 1792, 20,000 men. The insurrection of the 31st of May, 1793, 30,000 men. The population of France was 28 million. And we know the names of the commanders. Henriot, Marat, Maximilian, Robespierre. You know the names. We know who they were. They wrote books. They wrote pamphlets. They rabble-roused. They wanted to overthrow the government. They were revolutionaries. And then this continued because he didn't have that. There's a few other little details. Like, for example, people saying, well, there were foreign actors involved as well. The British government, it should be said, it was not for the French Revolution. And in fact, they backed two post-revolutionary wars, which are known as the Revolutionary Wars, invasions of France, basically to carve up France between the other powers and restore the monarchy. They're kind of interesting things to look at. The Holy Roman Empire lost something like 200,000 men in one of those invasions. And France came out of that. They defeated the coalitions that were secretly, or not so secretly, being backed by the British government at that time to take out the new revolutionary government and put the king back. And after that, of course, there was the Napoleonic Wars, which was basically, what, like 6-7 wars, where all backed by the British, where they basically sought to destroy Napoleon. And they did destroy Napoleon in the end. So that is actually what happened. That's kind of like by the by from the matter at hand here, which is specifically, what was the French Revolution and how is it different from when people are talking about going to protest now? Okay, it's important to distinguish, I said, between protest, which is an activity where you seek government permission to stand around with placards, down with all this, and armed insurrection, which is where there is an attempt to overthrow the government using force. The French Revolution was not a protest. It was an armed insurrection. The storming of the Bastille and those two other insurrections I mentioned, they were armed. They had guys who'd turned, French guards and military men who turned on the government and declared for the rebels. This is very different from a protest. Okay, this is armed insurrection with a view of establishing a new government and replacing the old government. Well, Carl came in there again and he said, please have an intervention, Apostolic Majesty. He tried to tag in Apostolic Majesty, and then he quoted all of these riots that happened. And unfortunately for him, this backfired because Apostolic Majesty came in and said, I'm afraid I completely agree with AA in this case. France is an instance where the opposition or society was consolidated across all quarters, from the artisans, the lower clergy, the liberal nobility, to the Prince de Sang, the Duke of Orléans, and the Master of the Oriental Lodge. That is what Apostolic Majesty said. But I think there are some interesting things to go into when it comes to this, okay? First is the nature of riots. Okay, so Carl, I was drawing this distinction between the French Revolution as an armed insurrection and a protest, quote unquote, to Carl then brought in all these examples of prior kind of peasant riots that were occurring in France. Now, he cited many different examples. I don't have the time to go into any of them, really. Some of them did have elite organisation. Some of them were controlled, you could put it that way. Others were more random in nature. But what is the nature of a riot versus the protest and versus the insurrection? And that said, well, look, the definitions here are important. Definitions are important. And people have a habit of jumping or making jumps between distinct logical categories, which is what we're doing here, okay? A protest, I've already defined it in this video. It is placards by government permission. I seek you the permission of you, the government, to jump up, march up and down, marching up and down the square, march with a placard saying, down with all this. That's a protest. A riot basically can be described as peasant violence. Now, riots can be organised or they can be random, a rabble, basically. But riots involve violence. We saw riots in Southport last year. That was a riot, okay? That was people kicking over, you know. And I think that the Southport riots were not coordinated. I think they were just kind of angry locals kicking over bins and things like that. That is a riot definition, okay? Armed insurrection, or an insurrection, is an armed attempt to overthrow the government. We actually saw one fairly recently in January the 6th, where the Biden administration tried to beg up what happened in the Capitol there as a quote-unquote insurrection, January the 6th. I think that was a misframing. I don't think that the people in January 6th were actually trying to overthrow the government. In fact, this is one of the things that caused me to write the best-selling book, The Populist Delusion, Buy It Now, because I remember they got into the Capitol building, and what are they doing? Taking selfies. They didn't know what to do. They were just taking selfies of each other, or taking selfies of themselves. I'm going to sit in Nancy Pelosi's chair and take a selfie. They didn't have a plan. They didn't know what they were doing. They were not actually insurrectionists or revolutionaries, because if it was Fidel Castro and Che Guevara or Lenin and the Bolsheviks or any other actual revolutionary group that has happened in history, they'd have known what to do. They would have had a plan. They were organized. And an organized paramilitary group planning using guerrilla tactics to take over the government. Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, Lenin. Many other examples are available throughout history. This is not the same as what happened in Jan 6th, but other people claim it was an insurrection. Maybe it was just a really crap insurrection. You can argue about it. But you can see there's a distinct category difference between the armed insurrection to try to take over the government, the kind of peasant riot, okay, and the protest. And people have got a habit of kind of jumping between these things. Right? They say, well, the reason you should go to a protest is because French Revolution. The reason you should go to a protest is because, you know, blah, 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 blah. Now, maybe they think that a protest has the potential to turn into a riot or the potential to turn into an armed insurrection. I don't know. Strikes me that that doesn't always happen. In fact, it almost never happened. Instead, let me tell you exactly what does happen at kind of mass protests. One, and this is the main thing, is that a huge amount of energy is expended and blown up into the ether. The banner case being the anti-Iraq march that happened against Tony Blair back in 2003, I think it was, led by the likes of Jeremy Corbyn, the million-man march in London. They thought they'd have a huge victory. They patted themselves on the back. Oh, we're winning. We're winning so much. Iraq war continued for another decade. Tony Blair won the next election again. And the energy that had built up, the anger and the energy that had built up against the Iraq war was dissipated. Because Tony Blair didn't actually care that a million people marched in London as a true student of power. He knew it didn't make any difference at all. What else can happen at a mass protest? Well, because it's mass in nature, and because even in times where they are organised, even when you've got captains on the ground, there are a lot of moving parts, there are a lot of unknowns, there are a lot of things that can go wrong. It can be infiltrated by bad actors, by the feds and so on, who can basically just do things like start a fight or insert people into the crowd to, you know, say incendiary things. Then use that as a pretext to have a go at that, you know, to bring in legislation against this group or that group. These are all tactics that have been used. You don't actually know what can happen at a mass event, and as a result, all the cards are in the hands of the government, whose permission, let's not forget, you have sought to do this. Okay, you're simply just empowering the government more with one of these sorts of protests. Now, I suspect what may be behind this is the forthcoming mass rally that is taking place in London, led by Tommy Robinson. And as far as I know, Carl is talking at that event. And maybe Carl feels the need to defend the notion of protest because he is planning to go to this. Okay. Now, I should say, definitions are important. Remember, the event that Tommy is holding is, strictly speaking, not a protest. It is a rally. I guess that's what you'd call it. What is the difference between a rally and a protest? A rally is where a large group of the public assemble in a space, in a public space, and there are speeches held there. I'm also against these, by the way, and I'll explain why in a second. But I suspect that Carr may be motivated to justify his own attendance at these sorts of mass events. Why don't I like them? Okay, why don't I like the mass rally? Well, even more than the mass protest, the scope for the people with power to disrupt or to cause trouble or to, do disruptive things at these sorts of events, to frame it in whichever way they wish for the media, is quite large. Okay, so that's one issue. Another issue is to do with the nature of crowds in and of itself. Now, here I'm speaking not from the perspective of the organisers of the event in Tommy's. I mean, I don't know who's organising Tommy's event. Maybe it's just Tommy himself, right? But I'm talking from the point of view of being a member of that crowd, okay? So let's just pretend you're a member of the crowd who's gone along to this event in September, okay? Great book, which I talk about in Populist Illusion, I've mentioned before, Gustave Le Bon, The Crowd. It's all of what I'm saying here is all in that book. What is the nature of a crowd? A crowd is always and everywhere passive and feminine. Passive and feminine. Because the speakers who get up there, and I can't remember if Jordan Peterson is going to this, Tommy. I think Jordan Peterson may be ill or something, so he's not going. But Jordan Peterson, for example, is one of the speakers who's going to speak at the Tommy rally. Okay. When you put yourself in the position of being one of that multitude in the mass, in the crowd, you are basically acquiescing to be the blank canvas on which somebody like Jordan Peterson can paint. And you basically consent to allow Jordan Peterson to paint his ideal picture on you, using you as the kind of raw materials from which to craft whatever narrative he wants. So Jordan, so you all assemble there. Maybe you've got in your mind your own ideas of why you've assembled. And Jordan Peterson stands up there and he says, well, the reason we're gathered today is for classical liberalism, for individualism against the collective. We stand here for Israel and against Islam. That's the Jordan Peterson speech, something like this, okay? And you now have basically given consent to that message. Because when Jordan Peterson speaks, he speaks for you, for the crowd. He basically imprints his own message on you. And that is the relationship between the speaker and the crowd at a mass event. And again, you can go through it. When the Russian Revolution happened, the Russian Revolution did not happen for quote-unquote communism. The Russian Revolution was an overthrowing of the Tsar. Crowds were assembling, and then Lenin got up there and said, what we stand for is we stand for the dictatorship of the proletariat, the Bolshevik takeover for Karl Marx. Yeah! That's basically what happened. He co-opted the energy, that the anti-Tsarist energy, he co-opted that, and, well, the rest is history. It wasn't without a fight, obviously, but that is basically what happened. So when you're going along to the Tommy rally, You basically sign up for whatever it is that those guys on the stage say. So if those guys on the stage want to say, the England flag is a flag for everybody. And here's a Jamaican guy waving the England flag and the Jamaican flag, because really what we're about is for, is an England for everybody. What we really want is liberal, classical, liberal values. Okay? And what we're against here is the woke left, and specifically we're against Islam. We're against those Islamists. They're the issue. I guarantee you that maybe half of the speeches at the Tommy Rally will have that as a message. Now, if that's a message you agree with, sure, go ahead, go to the rally. But for many people there, they won't really understand any of that stuff that's being said. They're just having it imprinted on them, said on their behalf. So that's another structural issue that I have with a mass rally. It's a good as a manipulative tool. It's good if you're the Jordan Peterson there, bad if you're the member of the crowd, because you're being played yet again. But it's also bad from the point of view of being the organiser, in so much as the mass event is very hard to control. And like I said, the government can cause all sorts of problems because they are the active agent there, if you want to put it that way. They will have people on the ground that can cause all sorts of bad things to be said or done. Example recently in Australia, where things appeared to go wrong, and which is being framed now in all sorts of different ways. Now, you could have been at that rally, you may support those people. I don't really care. The nature of the rally, the nature of the public protest, lends itself to shit shows, basically. It always, everywhere, inextricably, ends up in a shit show, unless the government wants that thing to happen, in which case you get the Greta Thunberg, save the environment. Okay, yeah, here's all the stuff we're doing. Hey, meet the Pope, Greta. Meet the Pope. Have a breakfast at 10 Downing Street, Greta Thunberg, because that just happens. Until Greta Thunberg turned against Israel, in which case she doesn't get invited for breakfast at Downing Street anymore, because they don't want that. You know, they actually support Israel. They don't support what Greta stands for anymore. So Greta Thunberg is an interesting example, because it strikes me she went from being astroturfed, completely astroturfed, to being somewhat rogue, you might say, or somewhat actually against power. Anyway, that's not to say, however, that any of her protests are going to get anywhere either. I mean, I will say the same thing about the pro. If you're a pro, there's every chance that you're a pro-Palestine person or a leftist who watches this channel, who's passionately like attends all of the kind of swampy Jeremy Corbyn type protests. What do you hope to achieve with any of those protests? What's the point of them? Is it actually going to change government policy? No, it's not. And in that case, it's not even in the British government's purview to change what's happening there. They already don't hardly send any weapons to them. So those protests also, by the way, are a waste of time. They never get anywhere. I'm an equal opportunity anti-protest voice, friends, because it's just crap. It doesn't achieve anything. Now, you could make a kind of argument to say, well, the thing is, AA, maybe organising protests and rallies are a pretext to all the other things. They're giving experience, they're giving XP in organisation. They're giving us kind of, and it's a morale boost. It's a morale boost and it gives experience, a morale boost. I could see some credence to that argument, but I would love you to show me 10 examples in history of that actually happening. Of where, for let's say a decade or two decades, a person who has then overthrown the government, or a group of people who have later overthrown the government, spent a decade or two decades attending protests and doing mass rallies and things like that, which had the the acquiescence of the current government. And this is this, I guess, is getting us towards the key differentiator here, because a lot of the groups in history, when they acted, were rogue, right? Fidel Castro did not go to Batista and say, "Excuse me, I would like permission to hold a pro-communist protest outside the palace." He didn't do that. He spent a decade in the bloody hills, living off nuts and berries with Che Guevara, in a guerrilla militia paramilitary group, before storming Havana and taking over. So I guess what we're honing in on is the fact that many of these mass events now require government permission. And if you're asking the government for permission with something, clearly the government, at some level, is all right with it. Because what does it give the government? It gives the government eyeballs. It gives the government data and information. It gives them a head count. How many people are at this event over here? It gives them all sorts of intelligence and information which they can then use to disrupt, to control, to manipulate, to redirect. And I suspect that the British government in particular is very good at all of these different things. So, yes, I am not for protest for all of the reasons that I outlined here. I think it is important to maintain these distinctions between protest, riot, and insurrection as well. Note, by the way, I am not arguing for any of those other things here either. I am simply delineating, as a matter of academic correctness, you might say, between these different categories. Because I don't know, it feels like a lot of people in their imaginations think, if we just get a crowd large enough, magically then Bastille. We just need to get a crowd large enough, then Bastille. This is just nonsense. This is silly. For one, the Bastille was only about 1,000 people. 1,000 people led by a group of elites who had military training. I think there were 60 former officers there who turned, or 61 former officers. They had access to cannons. And it was like 1,000 people against 124 soldiers. That was the Bastille. Or 120 soldiers, something like that. And, you know, they used superior organisation and superior numbers to overwhelm the 120 guards who were at the Bastille. 28 million people in France. Anyway. So, yeah, let me know what you think about all of this. I stand by, I take to the grave my anti-protest stance. Pick up a course, like I said, Foundations of Politics in particular, if you're interested in this topic. Many other great courses are available, and I'll see you later on for office hours.